An editorial by Mac Lawrence. Destiny and War. Some very good people feel that war is sometimes justified. Always horrible, but at times appropriate. The just war concept that many religions avow. Even Jimmy Carter admitted to that in his Nobel Peace Prize lecture. Disastrous, but acceptable as a last resort. But to many, war is no longer an option if the human race is to have any future. Richard Leakey once observed that we humans are late arrivals on the planet, and our place in the scheme of life is not yet assured. Our species could fail to make it into the future if we grossly maltreat the oceans, the fresh water, the air, the ozone layer, the systems we depend on for survival. Some new virus, even more deadly than HIV or Ebola, could move out from the jungle. We could even do ourselves in by ingesting our own man-made chemicals, including those hormone mimickers that inhibit the development of our children. Or our demise could come from war. One slip in the Cold War could have wiped out most of civilization. Those same nuclear weapons still exist, ready to launch at a moment's notice. Many nations now have nukes, and the U.S. threatens to use nuclear weapons in any war. If it's war that finally does us humans in, it's just as likely it will start at the level of one group of people deciding to kill another. Nation against nation, religious group against religious group, ethnic group against ethnic group. It could be a fight for power, or territory, or dogma, or water, or oil. If those in power really want a war, it's easy to stir up the emotions of fear and hatred, to create and demonize enemies. The techniques are well known. Threats to our way of life, accusations, hurts and injustices of the past repeated endlessly, half-truths, outright lies, fabricated events. The realities of war, death and destruction, are not mentioned. No other solution than war is considered. The talk is only of the reasons for the war and how it will be won, with massive force, brilliant planning, surgical strikes, night vision goggles, laser-guided bombs with incredible accuracy delivered from unimaginable heights, cruise missiles, bunker-buster nukes. Politicians of all parties fall in line. There is flag-waving and a national rallying in support of the men and women in uniform. This is the mythic view of war. In the case of the war on Iraq, for months, any voices of caution were hard to find. Perhaps the idea of America attacking such a small and weakened country was too far-fetched to be taken seriously. But as the war machine ratcheted up, voices questioning the war began to be heard. From American media and internationally, and increased in frequency week by week. One of the miracles of the internet is that, by striking a few keys, newspapers from around the world appear magically on one's computer screen. There are editorials that argue details and concepts, and the real reasons for the war. There are editorials that debunk statements made by those who are pushing for war, question the monetary costs, how Iraq will be governed after the war is won, the impact on the Middle East and around the world, and on the war against terrorism. And there are editorials that grapple head-on with the human issues that, unless they are resolved by our species, could very well be the end of us. Some titles of recent editorials: Europe and America, Some Know More About War, War's Bottom Line, Death, Sanitized War Version Wrong, How Many Dead Iraqis Will It Take? What About the Children? Can We Justify Killing the Children of Iraq? Charlie Reese of King Syndicated Features writes, "All of our wars and attacks kill, wound, and impoverish people, and the political talk about peace and democracy is just so much manure. I hate the phrase collateral damage. It is an inhuman euphemism created to disguise murder. If you were a cop shooting at a fleeing felon and you killed three innocent bystanders, no court in this country would allow you to brush it off as collateral damage." An editorial in the Australian newspaper, The Age, notes, "So much talk by those pressing for an attack on Iraq is stripped bare of the bloody reality of war. It is clinical, anesthetized, and intentionally devoid of emotion. We are meant to forget that war is about killing and maiming other people, about destroying their homes and communities. We are meant to ignore the fact that they are human at all, with the same hopes and fears as we have. We are asked to consider that they are lesser human beings who somehow deserve their fate, and that their death is a reasonable price for us to ask them to pay for our objectives. The last Gulf War was fought without the grim, brutal reality of war ever being shown to us. It was made to look like a little boy's video game. The military control of the images, the refusal to allow the media anywhere near the action, allowed us to retain the comfortable fantasy of a war without pain. We need to repudiate the all-too-ready use of force." Robert Wetzel writes in the Capital Times, "When essayists write about the deaths that will result from an attack, they invariably write about the tens of thousands, as if sheer numbers carry their argument. They rarely write about the one. Even Stalin knew the difference between a tragedy and a statistic. One death is a tragedy. 1 million is a statistic, is, I believe, what he said. War is about tragedy. The number of barrels of oil beneath the Iraqi desert is a statistic. People will die in this war, not by the tens of thousands, but each alone, one irreversible death at a time. Bombs will vaporize families as they huddle together and cry and pray. A child will die whole from a single bullet through the brain, or will die anonymously in pieces. People will lose their minds in this war, shattered by fear, anxiety, unbearable sorrow, and impotent rage. They will lose their souls and their humanity. Some people will become evil. A few will become saints. But that's no reason for a war." There is more from Wetzel, all hard to take in. He concludes, "If our country does not have the stomach to read, in unsanitized prose, about the singular tragedies that make a war, then it is only with the most profound hypocrisy that it can wage one. There are those who believe that the death and destruction are worth it, as Madeleine Albright, then U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, was reported to have said when asked about the reports that sanctions have been responsible for the death of 500,000 Iraqi children. One has to wonder what this kind of thinking holds for us as a human race. There are more wars in the past century than ever before. There are weapons of incredible destruction just waiting to be used, with even more deadly ones in the imagination. There are more AK-47s in the hands of more people than ever before, many of whom are disenfranchised, desperate, fanatical, suicidal, bent on revenge. It is not a thought that makes for a good night's sleep or portends well for the future." Einstein could well have been right when he said that either we do away with war, or war will do away with us. Aren't we smart enough to do what is needed for our own survival? What if the option of war were forever denied to us? How would we handle the many disputes, crises, disagreements, threats that seem to multiply as the years go on? I have enough faith in the ingenuity and creativity of the human race to believe we could do a credible job. All it would take is a change in the way we think. From Timeline Magazine, March, April, 2003, read by Carolyn Goss.